everybody, and welcome to Viewing Angles. It's the only movie podcast. You got me, Dan Leo, and with me, as always,
it's Robert Mackey.
Hell yeah, it is. And tonight, we're going to be talking about a great new whodunit movie, Knives Out. The new Rian Johnson movie starring Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Ana de Armas, and like 70 other movie stars.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that a little bit later. But let's tackle the box office first. Feels like it's been a little bit.
It has been a little bit. We've been busy.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, busy times. Lots of movies to see. We haven't stopped seeing movies, but we have run into some technical difficulties that have delayed the release of several episodes of podcast.
Yes, some temporal difficulties.
Yes, we all know how it works. Temporal difficulties and whatnot. But this coming up, or this past weekend, we had Frozen 2. Killing it with $85 million for its second weekend, bringing its total gross up to $288 million, which is bonkers, like so bonkers.
Wild, but also I think expected, especially for a Disney animated movie at this time of year. Does this movie cross the $1 billion mark?
Yes, 100%.
Does it? You think it surpasses the first Frozen?
Did the first Frozen make $1 billion?
Oh, yeah.
Then maybe not. I think it's maybe slightly less. I think this will start to taper off. But it has no competition next weekend. The weekend after that, it's got Jumanji. So that might disrupt it a little bit.
Jumanji might actually make quite a bit of money. I'm expecting Jumanji to do well.
That'll make $1 billion for sure.
Yeah. Did the first one make $1 billion?
Probably.
God damn it.
I didn't see it. Did you see it? This one actually looks kind of funny.
I saw it on Netflix. That's the thing.
Tell me about it. Tell me about that movie in detail, because I have no idea what it's about or what the concept is.
It's a fine movie. It's Jumanji in the video game. So instead of them playing a board game called Jumanji, they play an NES game called Jumanji, and they all get sucked into the game. And their characters are Kevin Hart, Dwayne Johnson, Jack Black, and the girl from Guardians of the Galaxy, the blue girl. I forget her
name. Karen Gillan?
Yes, the Doctor Who girl. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I guess I'm confused. Like, so are there multiple? I don't care.
Are you questioning me about Jumanji lore right now?
No, I'm saying that what other lore is there? Like, does the game keep getting updated in different formats as time goes on?
That's what it seems. It seems like it just adapts to whatever the people are going to be the most likely to play.
Right, it's magic.
So after this, Jumanji format runs its course, they're going to have a Jumanji app. Like, I guarantee you, that is what the next Jumanji iteration is going to be.
Definitely. Do you think they're going to do another one? Do you think?
Oh yeah, well, these movies make money. Surprisingly, I mean, as far as reboots go, like, this is probably the best one we got out of like the 90s comedy reboot. That and 21 Jump Street.
Oh yeah, 21 Jump Street. That was
But that's on a whole nother level. Like, I'm not comparing Jumanji to 21 Jump Street. I'm just happy Jumanji was not a failure.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that that'll knock everything off. Because what else? It's like that. As far as like kid fare goes, you're getting right into like Jumanji will be the first one of probably like winter break.
Oh yeah, it's so family friendly.
So family friendly. But then at the same time, like, the amount of movies being released on that weekend that are not Jumanji, that are getting wide releases, is insane. You've got Richard Jewell, the Clint Eastwood movie, about the one-time hero, one-time suspect, many-time hero, Richard Jewell, from the 1996 Atlanta bombings. Mm-hmm. You've got Black Christmas, which is a horror movie set during Christmas time. There's always like one horror movie.
I know they try to be edgy, and the worst part is it's not even like rated R. It's like you know, teeny bopper horror.
Yeah, one of those PG-13 ones.
Yeah, so that movie I bet makes under $8 million.
Yeah, and then we also have Bombshell, the Fox News tale of disorder and sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Over at Fox News.
From the director of Austin Powers.
Oh, really? So he's got some high caliber chops.
Sure.
Have you rewatched Austin Powers International Man of Mystery recently?
Yes, I love Austin Powers. But this is a, like...
No, I mean Austin Powers International Man of Mystery. Not just Austin Powers, just the first movie.
The first one? Honestly, no, yeah. I don't think... The one I watched most recently is probably Goldmember.
Goldmember is one of the worst movies of all time.
Wow. Them's fighting words.
Goldmember is so... When was the last time you saw Goldmember?
It's got probably like 2016.
It's so bad.
Dude, it's got
Beyonce. I rewatched
it
within the last year.
It's got Beyonce in it.
Right, and she hasn't acted since, except for another great appearance in Lion King, where she really adds a lot.
Ouch. You tell me she wasn't acting in Homecoming?
A different kind of acting. Performing is not acting.
Yeah.
Not all stand-ups are good actors.
Are you saying International Man of Mystery is actually good?
Yeah, it's actually like really good.
Okay, so
and it actually surprisingly holds up given the sexual circumstances, the sexual politics at play today.
Of course.
I think it actually does surprisingly well.
Yeah, it was the 70s, man. It was the 70s and the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. The two most different times from now.
So you think Jay Roach is going to tackle Bombshell with the nuance it deserves?
I mean, I think the early musings, this is not just me guessing. The early reviews are that it's pretty decent, especially there's a really good performance from Margot Robbie, especially.
Of course.
Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman also do pretty great work. Haven't really heard anything about John Lithgow, though. So
I haven't heard anything about this movie other than the fact that it seemed ill-advised. I wasn't sold on the trailer. And
have you seen the new trailer?
No, I didn't know there was a new trailer.
There is a new trailer. I would check that out. I was more interested when I saw the second trailer.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if the reviews are good, I'll check it out from the director of Austin Powers. So, you know, you got me right there.
Well, you know, the real thing that you forget everything else, but Uncut Gems is also coming out that weekend.
No, that's Christmas weekend. I thought that was the 25th.
December 13th, I'm seeing Uncut Gems gets a wide release.
What? I thought its wide release was Christmas Day.
Oh, wait. So it says, I hate the new Box Office Mojo.
Yeah, Box Office Mojo is trash. Like, that's the worst thing Jeff Bezos has done with his wealth.
He bought Box Office Mojo?
Yeah. Well, so he owns IMDb, and IMDb bought Box Office Mojo.
Why?
I know. He just hates us. He hates movie fans.
God, somebody has pictures of his penis. Isn't that weird?
Yes. And we haven't seen them yet?
Right. You would think that at that point, once he said the jig is up, guys, they'd be like, well, I guess it's time to release it to the people.
Yeah.
New York Times and the Washington Post.
He had the person who has that dirt assassinated.
Oh, yeah. Those people are dead.
Yeah.
Are dead, and like their entire like genealogy is wiped off the map.
Yeah.
He bought ancestry.com, got their DNA.
Just to wipe them from the history
documents
records.
Were destroyed. Yeah. That is kind of scary. Ancestry.com could really be used for some nefarious who knows?
No, we all know.
We all know who would do it. And yeah. We all know once he does, it's game over, man. It's game over.
What came in at number two at the box office?
I'll tell you what, Rob. Knives Out.
Yes.
$26.8 million. Now that means, and that's just the 3-day. That's the November 29th to December 1st.
Yes.
We all know that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and the Thursday are also big movie days.
Huge.
A lot of people go get their turkey on, go to the movies. Sometimes they go to restaurants. Have you ever been to a restaurant for Thanksgiving?
No.
Me neither.
I know people that have done it. That seems wrong to me. And I also feel bad. Nobody should have to work on Thanksgiving.
Right. Not even the police.
Not even the police.
Not even the fire department.
Thanksgiving should be the purge. Thanksgiving should, if we ever going to implement the purge in America, we already have the perfect holiday.
Thanksgiving, yeah, exactly. Because that's the day I want to be murdered, Rob. Thanksgiving. God, no, make it like Flag Day or something.
Oh, God. Everybody
make
can work on
July.
Flag
Fourth
Day.
Fourth of July should, honestly, that's the purge day.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. You can only kill people with fireworks because you want it to be a show.
Why are you adding rules? The whole point is no rules.
All right, all right.
That's the, you're like, the first rule is there are no rules.
The second rule is there are no rules.
Meet some criteria. The second rule is there are actually quite a few rules. And here they are listed out.
The American Purge. Hell yeah. That's how I would design it. You can make
it
work.
So the point about Knives Out is that it actually made all of its budget back.
Oh, yeah.
In its domestic debut.
Yeah. Well, not including marketing, but yes.
Correct. Yes. It made its production budget solely. By December 1st, it had made $41 million. And that is enough to cover the $40 million budget, which is great because it's an original movie. We've got a huge ensemble cast.
Yeah. It's Rian Johnson, so you can make all the fucking Last Jedi haters get even more butthurt.
Yeah, it is true that people won't just be like, oh, this is trash because critics were wrong about the last movie that he did and are just trying to brainwash me into thinking that something that's bad is actually or something that's good is actually bad.
I honestly wish I knew someone with that mindset because like I just want to sit down, have a drink with them and kind of like pick their brain. Like, how do you think about everything?
I know several of them. I had this conversation actually I saw the movie.
Ouch. That's rough.
It's wild.
Did you learn? Did you learn a lot?
No, I mean, I know. I get it. It is it really just like, it's a test of personality. I think there is a certain like wanting to like pick something apart, especially if something like doesn't make any sense in a movie and it happens. And then you can either let that kind of destroy the experience for you, or you can kind of just like say that sometimes good things have bad parts.
Yeah, that's I guess
that's how life works. Like, but that's how every like really great movie works.
Also, to me, it's like Star Wars is not that in the Star Wars is not high art. Like, to me, someone trying to analyze, like someone putting out a fucking analysis video that is longer than the movie itself, talking about why The Last Jedi is a piece of shit. It would be the same to me about someone taking like a season of SpongeBob, putting out a 5-hour analysis video talking about why that piece of media is like awful. Like, who gives a shit? It's a product
like you're taking it a little
that's
too seriously.
Designed to appeal to like our most base entertainment instincts and sell toys. Like, if it's a good movie, that's just a bonus, but that's not what it was made for. Come on.
But I also think that we're of the opinion that it is like an actually good movie.
It is. I think Last Jedi is the best Star Wars movie.
That's a pretty wild claim.
I don't think that's a wild claim. I don't think it's wild at all, man. Rian Johnson
in the top.
Rian Johnson is the best writer and director to have worked on the Star Wars franchise, and he put out the best piece of media about Star Wars.
Yeah. Interesting.
So many iconic moments from that movie. More than any other film. More than any other Star Wars film. Not only
I would
that,
say it's in my top three.
It's also just like, I think it's the most,
maybe
it feels like the most thematically cohesive. But we can have this conversation when The Rise of Skywalker comes out. We'll do a big Star Wars episode dissection.
Actually, one thing that we should do now that we both have Disney Plus, we should, in the weeks leading up to Rise of Skywalker, we should rewatch every Star Wars movie. And so when we do The Rise of Skywalker, just like how Rise of Skywalker will be the perfect ending to 9 movies.
Uh-huh.
So will our podcast be the perfect ending?
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I'm down. Let's do it. I want to use my Disney Plus more because right now I'm only watching Jeff Goldblum and The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I'm only watching The Mandalorian so far. Yeah,
you should watch Jeff Goldblum, though. It's a good show.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah. Nat Geo. They have them high production values and you learn a bit.
I love to learn.
I love
Jeff
Goldblum.
I want to learn next?
What do you want to learn next?
I want to learn what came in number 3 for the box office, Rob.
It's Ford v. Ferrari, Dawn of Car.
Dawn of Car. I wish they had a subtitle for Ford v. Ferrari. But Ford v. Ferrari coming in at number 3 at 13.2. Is it all the way? It's at $81 million.
It had a production budget of $100 million. So
yeah, so they're getting there.
I think this movie, like,
worldwide, it's $144 million. Yeah, so they did it.
It'll be fine. It'll be decently successful. Like, this isn't a blockbuster, but I don't think that. Hopefully, none of the executives were expecting, like, you know, a 5x ROI or something on this. Like, you're not going to get Joker numbers with this movie.
Isn't that weird?
What a society we live in.
Yeah, what a society we live in where Joker beats out
a car movie
about a 24-hour long race.
Yeah. A PG-13 movie about a 24-hour long race.
Yeah, it is so crazy that it's like 24 hours long. When they first pitched the movie, I'm like, how can one person drive for 24 hours? Mm-hmm. And the answer is they don't. They switch off.
Yes. Although I kind of want someone to start a 24-hour race now where, like, they just have to pack all the food they need in the car. They have to calculate that into the weight of the car. They have to find a way to, like, you know, piss and shit while they're driving.
People would die. You just want, like, a weird Mad Max endurance competition.
People already die in racing. Like, this would be nothing new.
Right, but this would be like putting them in. This would be like doing a race where everyone gets drunk beforehand. You're putting them in a needlessly dangerous situation.
I think that's a great idea too. Like,
all right, I'm with you on this now.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Before I was not.
Fuck the Daytona.
Now that you've really unleashed.
Fuck the Daytona Cup. Right. Like, give me the Red Solo Cup endurance race.
There you go. Sponsored by Jack Daniels.
Exactly.
No, Jack. Like, no liquor. It would be like Natty Light would like sponsor it.
Oh, because you want to make them piss. You want to, like, make it hard for them to go 24 hours.
Yes.
You want to make them
among
chug.
Other things.
Actually, I would be down for, like, a White Claw. Like, the White Claw 500.
Right. Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Exactly. It's not drunk driving if you're not on a public road.
I don't know if that's how the law works.
I actually don't know either. But, you know, if that's not how it works, that's fucked up. I'm a libertarian now.
Let's leave it up to the courts. How about that? All right. Now that we got that out of the way, let's get into the highs, the lows, and the toss up of the week. Spoiler alert, there are no lows. It was the perfect week.
Yeah,
nothing
great
bad
week.
Happened.
Thank you, Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So the high of the week is that we hear Noah Hawley is failing upwards and he'll be directing Star Trek 4, which is both like, I can't tell if he's actually failing upwards or if it's like, hey, you really fucked that last one up. Take this, like on the verge of dying, like rebooted franchise. And if you can't fix this, you're done forever.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, because like Fargo is fantastic, Legion is fantastic. I have not seen Lucy in the Sky. I hear
it's awful.
Yeah, I hear it's trash. But I do want to watch it because I'm so curious. I am so curious about this movie. I think that Star Trek 4, you know, I don't believe he's writing the script. So if they get, you know, the screenwriters of the past couple movies, I think it'll be fine. Because I think what they're really looking for is visual flair. And Noah Hawley, I think, has that in spades.
Yeah, and if it's anything like... Well, I just feel like it's so different than Fargo. You can tell me if it's different than Legion, but it feels like I really, really like Fargo. And I wonder why he couldn't translate that into a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
I don't know.
But I wonder if he'll be able to do it with this one.
I honestly wonder if there's like a production story that we just haven't heard yet. Because to me, it seems like Noah Hawley is too talent. Like, I think that being the showrunner of both Fargo and Legion proves that he has talent. More talent than it should require to make a movie as bad as Lucy in the Sky evidently is. Again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's as bad as everyone is saying, but I'm kind of assuming it is. Like, it's pretty unanimous that the movie's trash. They pulled it from theaters after like one weekend. I feel like there's something we just haven't learned about yet regarding that film. But I might.
Yeah, you know. You think there was some kind of like script issue or like studio meddling.
Yeah. And also from what
Natalie Portman fighting for creative control.
Yeah. From what I gathered from the Wikipedia article, he was also brought in last minute as a director on this film.
Ooh.
So I don't know if he had complete creative control. Hopefully people are willing to overlook that weird little speed bump in his career, because I think that Fargo and Legion are both two of the best television series on on the air.
In the last 20 years, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for Fargo season 4, too. Chris Rock in the 70s is a Kansas City Mafia member.
I still need to watch the season 3.
It's good.
I never got through it.
It's good. It's real good.
I'm waiting for it. But so, yeah, I'll be interested to see this. I also haven't seen the last Star Trek movie.
It's fine. Nothing too memorable about it other than the Beastie Boys soundtrack.
Right. But I'm like, that's how I've kind of felt about all of them.
I like 1 and 2 quite a bit. I think J.J. Abrams did a great job with Star Trek. And I feel very vindicated because after watching Star Trek 1 and 2, the reboots, I was like, J.J. Abrams, I don't think it's the best fit for Star Trek, because to me, Star Trek has always been more philosophical and inquisitive. Yeah. Whereas these
the
reboot franchise is just kind of like, it's a thrill ride. And watching both of those movies, I'm like, J.J. Abrams feels like, it seems like he wants to direct a Star Wars movie, but all he got was a Star Trek movie. but he fucking came on Force Awakens. I think Force Awakens is pretty good. I'm like, this is where his talents lie. It's in making an engrossing film with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, I think that it definitely worked better for Star Wars than Star Trek. Just like the swoopy angles and the camera moving from side to side.
Yeah.
Tilting. It works so much better as a Star Wars flourish. And the glow, the lightsabers.
The lens flare. Only thing,
yeah, the lens flare actually it's so minimal in Force Awakens, but it really lends to this weird documentary style. It brings a different level of realism to it.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, for me, kind of taking it out of the myths and then humanizing it, which is what Rian Johnson built off of.
Yeah, which is a very nice change of pace from the prequel trilogy, where everything was just set on a fucking tripod.
Yeah, fucking opera. Jeez. All right. And the toss up of the week is that the Black Widow movie is still coming out, and a trailer has been released and it's coming out sooner than I thought it would.
March.
And this is
not
the movie that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't actually know what this movie is going to be. And I'm kind of curious to see how a general audience reacts to it, because have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
OK. They don't make any effort to tell you when this takes place chronologically.
Correct. And it takes place between Captain America 3 and Avengers Infinity War.
Yes. Which, what the hell? This just seems like a bad idea all around. I think there was definitely a time frame when this movie could have been successful and everybody would have been hyped. But it kind of feels like the Captain Marvel problem, where this is going to come out and I feel like it's going to feel incredibly inconsequential to the greater picture, because I think at this point everybody, the people that still, I say that there's not a lot of people that like Marvel, but people like Marvel.
And if Captain Marvel didn't make $1 billion,
yeah. I don't think they're going another story, another discussion to have later on, but I don't think that Captain Marvel is as important as they wanted her to be. She is not the figurehead of the MCU that they were trying to set her up to be. And I think that it's going to be a similar situation with Black Widow, where I'm sure this movie's going to do fine financially, probably make $1 billion or close to $1 billion. But I don't think anyone is going to be talking about it afterwards. I don't think it's going to have any cultural impact, any impact on even the MCU in general. And it just feels like a stopgap until we get, what is it, The Eternals, I think, comes out later next year, which is the big cosmic opera that Marvel's setting
up. Doctor Strange
is 2021, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Gotcha. But this is the first movie of Phase 4. That's what they've said.
Yeah.
So I feel like that means they're setting up Florence Pugh, who plays her sister in the movie.
It's like the new Black Widow.
Yeah.
I don't want her. Like, her Russian accent is kind of a joke.
Oh, it's hilariously bad.
Awful. Like, I don't want to have to deal with that in every future MCU movie.
Right. It's like it's like Kick-Ass in Age of Ultron.
Oh god.
Where you're like, yep. why are you doing this? Why is this happening? Why couldn't they just make them like American?
I forgot about that. Honestly, I really hope that I would rather see David Harbour's character come out.
Which he's definitely dead. Like 100%
dies.
Dead.
He definitely dies in this movie. 100%.
Yeah. Maybe they bring Rachel Weisz in though. Mm. Like,
I don't want it. He's the only character that looked interesting.
Yeah, Soviet Captain America.
Hell yeah.
I thought this movie was going to take place like before the Avengers. That was initially what I had thought the movie was going
to
be.
All they said before is that it's a prequel. They never said to what.
Which, God, what a...
Yeah, I know. It's a prequel to what? There's 20, like 23 movies it could be a prequel to now?
Right. Yeah, it's like, this is not, obviously it has to be a prequel because she's dead. Like, so saying it's a prequel isn't giving us information.
Yeah.
Saying it's not a prequel would give us a lot of information.
I do want to know, I'm curious about this movie because I wonder if they are going to have more world ending stakes or if it's going to be like a smaller, more self-contained story.
This does not look self-contained.
Cool. I know. No Marvel movie is. But I don't know. This, like, it could be good. I hope it's better than Captain Marvel, because I really, like, of all the Marvel movies, I think Captain Marvel is the one I have the least desire to watch again.
Yeah.
But I hope it's better than Far From Home, too. Because my big fear right now is that post Endgame, it just feels like they're cashing in on the brand they've built. And I'm hoping that this movie actually sets up a super interesting through line for Phase 4.
Right. Another arc.
Yeah. But I feel like this is not going to be the one to do it.
Yeah. You can't go all in on like the comic book format for your movies. And then just abandon it when your first arc is done. It's like, no, man.
Yeah.
Now you get in for the real stuff because this is like, this will keep going.
Yeah.
Like.
But we'll see. Comes out in 4 months?
Can't even believe it.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. I'm surprised they waited this long. Like, there's.
I'm not. God. This. Remember, wasn't there like rumors that this was going to be like an R-rated, like gritty time about her time in Budapest?
I mean, I think that's all there were. Just fucking rumors. Like the MC, like Marvel and Disney, they're not ever going to put out an R-rated film. That's DC's domain now.
So you think there's not going to be another Deadpool?
Probably not R-rated. I think Deadpool crosses over with other franchises. And he makes fun, like, it's, I think they use that for a lot of fourth wall breaks where, you know, he tries to swear and he can't or something like that, which I think could.
I don't think they'll let him make fun of Disney.
They let The Simpsons make fun of Disney.
They let The Simpsons make fun of Fox.
No, they made fun of Disney, too.
Yeah, but that's like an institution. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I'm very curious to see how Deadpool works in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know if we will.
No, we have to. I think that, like, Deadpool 1 and 2 both made, I think, $1 billion globally, right? And Disney's not going to just ignore that.
They got close to a billion. Joker's the only one that actually made it over a billion.
You're right,
I'm pretty sure.
Right. Okay. Maybe with Disney money, they can push it over a billion.
Who knows?
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out. Experimentation.
Exactly.
All right, Rob, let's get into our review of the movie this week. And that movie is Knives Out, the new Rian Johnson murder mystery film. It's a modern take on the whodunit.
Yeah. Clue 2019.
It follows a family gathering gone awry after the family's patriarch's death leads to a master detective to investigate. And you got Daniel Craig in this, Chris Evans, Ana de Armas, Jamie Lee Curtis, Michael Shannon, Don Johnson, Toni Collette, Lakeith Stanfield, Catherine Langford, Jadeen Martell, and Christopher Plummer. That's so many people.
That is so many people.
And they're all a delight. Especially Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig is so good in this. Daniel Craig it's is hilarious.
Great. Chris Evans is great. I think Ana de Armas is great. Does she actually have that accent, or is she faking it?
I don't know if she could maybe fake it. I've seen her in a few things, and I feel like she has not had.
Yeah, I don't remember having an accent either. But yeah. Quick question: are we still a spoiler podcast?
I think this is might be unnecessary to not spoil.
Okay.
It's also would be so convoluted. I feel like too.
Yeah, that's true.
Even trying to explain it.
A lot. To
it's
go
a
through,
donut.
A lot of stuff. But it's a donut within a donut.
A donut home. That, I think that whole monologue is one of the funniest things I've seen like all year. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So
that's up there with like 8 whiskey sours for me. You had to have 8 whiskey 8 sours.
Fucking whiskey sours last You're night.
You embarrassed yourself.
If you couldn't tell, I think by Dan and I's candor, I think that we both agree this movie's pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Super enjoyable on every level. I just love a good whodunit, and I haven't seen a whole lot of them. But the way that this one kind of, it doesn't turn like the whodunit on its head. It is really just like a modern update that updates every aspect of it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like takes the tropes and kind of subverts them in a... it takes the tropes and you're kind of going through it and you're like, all right, I kind of know how this is. That's the whole point of genre.
Yeah.
Right. Is that you kind of know the format and then you can play around with it. But this has like a very literate knowledge of whodunits so that even when I feel myself settling in, be like, all right, I kind of know what's going to happen. It changes direction. Mm-hmm. It goes down a different path that I did not see coming. And that's what's great. It's a whodunit who does the best job of that type of movie, just keep you in suspense.
Yeah.
And just having you trying to figure it out, but you can't quite figure it out. It's very smart.
It is very smart. I think it guides the audience along very well. And so my biggest fear going into any, I guess, whodunit, if whodunit is a genre now, I was just kind of considering mystery, yeah. But sure, we can call it the whodunit, the subgenre. I always my biggest fear is always that I feel like I'm going to be cheated by the writer where.
Yeah, they're going to pull some stupid shit at the end and be like, actually, we've been lying to you this whole time.
You should have been paying closer attention, you fucking idiot.
Like, motherfuckers.
But no, I think this movie did a great job because the payoff is incredibly satisfying. And if if you're watching the movie, like, it's not even like you don't have to pay that close of attention to the movie. As long as you're not on your fucking phone in the theater, it will make sense who done it.
They explain it at the end.
With a fantastic monologue.
The best part of any whodunit is truly the moment when the detective figures it all out.
The wrap up, piecing it all together.
Yeah. And this did a great job of doing it. Without seeming just like an exposition dump.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like, you know, those Sherlock reveals where it's like, this is how it happened.
You can do exposition dumps and make them entertaining. And I think this movie does that very well. But I want to know, so you had your theories of who it was watching the movie?
Yes.
Were you right? Were you wrong?
No, I mean, I kind of knew that. I knew some aspects of what was going on, but I didn't. The way that me thinking that was all it was going to be was like, oh, I bet it's going to be not what it appears.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, no shit. And the way that I was guessing it was kind of right, but then they still did so much more with it.
And they throw enough twists in there to keep you hooked.
Yeah, me just thinking like, oh, this will probably be the reveal. And then that reveal happens within the first like 20 minutes. And I'm like, okay, well, this is already gone past what I thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
No, I was the same way. I think I was effectively tugged along. There was actually at one point, the character that I thought it was, Daniel Craig just outright dismisses, which I had a good time with. I'm like, oh, okay. So he's in the audience's head. Like, Rian Johnson knows what people are going to be expecting at this point.
And I think even for us who are more seasoned moviegoers, I would say, mm-hmm. than the average person, where you start to get the movie brain a little bit, where you're like, all right, I know how all these pieces fit together. Like, let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Structure is easy for us. We see a lot of things. We can see how different structures move in similar ways. This subverted that.
Yeah.
Like, every time I was trying to put it together and thinking, like, because I hate sitting in a movie and when I can see what's going to happen a mile away.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to see.
Why am I even here?
No one wants to see the Matrix, you know? They don't want to see the code. They just want to live in it.
Well, I want to see the code. I want to see, like, the cool shots and, like, the good acting and stuff.
I think there's the language, which this movie has in spades. I think Rian Johnson, you know, has proven over and over again that he's one of the best filmmakers working today. And, boy, I can't wait to see a Star Wars trilogy. But I think it's funny because he does exactly in this film what he did in The Last Jedi, but everybody hated him for, was subverting expectations.
There's that word again.
I know. People hate it. All those fucking five-hour-long podcasters.
No, we're cool and crisp. We're under an hour.
Yeah, we're like a fresh apple.
Yeah, but I love so many things about the movie. I mean, Chris Evans' shirts, his sweaters, amazing.
Oh.
Great knit. He is having such a ball being just the biggest asshole.
I love it. It's so fun to get to see him, like, just reach out and just flex his actual acting muscle, acting against type, because Chris Evans is synonymous with Captain America at this point.
Correct. Yeah.
So it is so fun to see him play a role like this. And everybody, I think, is having everybody's having a great time. Every actor. I do feel a little bit bad for the like Lakeith Stanfield. I don't think he really got to have as much fun because he plays, you know, he's the straight man, which I get.
Yeah. He plays a cop.
Yeah. Never fun to play a cop.
he actually feel like has the least to do here. I also love Don Johnson is great, as he always is, mm-hmm. as doing like the kind of shitty uncle thing.
Yeah. He's the commissioner or the police chief in Watchmen, right?
Correct.
Yes, I knew it.
But yeah, he's great. Michael Shannon.
No, Michael Shannon was having a little ball. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jacob. What was the name of the kid? His kid. The fucking.
The Nazi boy.
Oh, my God. So another thing about this movie that I was.
My theater was loving that.
Yeah, mine too, thankfully. In Texas, who would have thought? But.
Right. Yeah. They hate Nazis in Texas. Yeah. That's one of the things they do.
I was not expecting this movie to have as much social commentary as it did. And the fact that it all worked and none of it felt cringy is, I think, a testament to Johnson's writing.
Yes, definitely. There's a brief scene where Don Johnson is both like asking her opinion and then giving her like something to take away.
Yes. And oh my God.
The perfect, like, just obliviousness of these rich motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And
eat the rich.
Eat the rich, please. Toni Collette also. Firing on all like cylinders, doing it all.
Mm-hmm.
She's going ham, like she's really hamming it up. And I think
everybody is playing like their Clue caricature. And I love even that line in the beginning of the movie. Like, well, what are we gonna know about this man? Like, he lives on a fucking Clue board. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, the house itself is full of bric-a-brac and nonsense, just a lot of like wood carvings,
a lot of secret antiques. Entrances, like
it's spooky. And then you got Christopher Plummer, who's doing his old man thing. He's doing the same thing he was doing in All the Money in the World, but
replacing
like more
Kevin Spacey.
Fun. Yeah, exactly. Completely replacing Kevin Spacey.
I never actually saw All the Money in the World, so I don't know if that was good or not.
It's decent. It's really just a testament of how good Christopher Plummer is, is that they just inserted him and he's so good.
Yeah.
Like
he can just,
it's not even
he
that
turn
he's
it on.
Amazing. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm an actor. Like, here, put me in front of just a green screen. Sure.
Fuck.
But yeah, he's just so good. And who else? We're missing somebody. And Ana de Armas especially. Like, she is.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah. I feel like she hasn't had like a starring role really in anything.
I mean, she's got this, and she's got Bond coming up next year.
Yeah. Is she going to be the Bond girl, or is she going to be the bad Bond girl?
I think she's going to be the bad Bond girl, because I'm pretty sure Lea Seydoux is still the good Bond girl.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're going to keep it.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, they're connecting it to Spectre, but I'm like, you don't have to, you know?
Right. Just keep going.
Yeah.
I guess we'll learn more about that tomorrow when this podcast is probably released, when the trailer comes out.
Yeah. Tune in for that.
Hell yeah.
I'm sure we'll have tweets about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tweeting all about it. What else? This is great. I mean, classic score. A lot of strings.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tense sounding. It very much felt like the movie Clue, but like slightly more serious.
Yeah, and just better in general.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know, it's, maybe people will crucify me for this, but I don't think Clue is that great. I love Tim Curry, but yeah, Clue is just like a forgettable 1980s movie adapted from a board game.
I've actually never seen it.
I mean, it's fine.
I hear that there are a lot of secret endings.
Huh. I didn't know about that.
Isn't that like the most like famous part about the movie, is that there's like multiple endings?
Like hidden director's cuts? What do you mean?
No, I think there's like a different ending for each character.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what you mean by that. I'm very confused.
Like, there's one where this guy did it, and there's one ending where this guy did it, et cetera, et cetera.
Like, and they just showed them randomly in the theater?
Yeah, I don't know. Huh. They're okay, hold on. There are three endings. There's ending A, B, and C.
Interesting.
In theatrical screen, audiences would be shown one of the three endings. All three are included in the home release, with ending A and ending B as possible endings, and ending C as how events actually occurred.
Okay, maybe. Maybe I'll have to give that another look then. Interesting.
Yeah. Check it out, man.
Yeah, literally caught it on TV. So
perfect. So Knives Out, where would you rank this in Rian Johnson's filmography?
So I haven't seen The Brothers Bloom.
I also have not seen that, actually.
I hear it's good, though. I would probably put this right below The Last Jedi. Because I love The Last Jedi. I love it so fucking much.
I think I would also put it... I think it's almost all in release order, but like a little different. Mm-hmm. It'd be Last Jedi for me, then Knives Out, then Looper, then Brick.
Really?
Yeah.
Brick's actually at my top. I think the only movie I like more than Last Jedi is Brick. I thought Brick was...
Really?
I fucking love Brick.
I saw Brick and I liked it at first, and then I watched it again and I was like, that's kind of cringy. This is a... I don't buy this. These high school kids acting like their shit matters.
But, well, so that's not the point, though. It's like high school kids that are talking with like noir. Like, it's a neo noir, isn't it? It's a neo noir set in high school. So
they're
obviously, the
like
dialogue.
High school kids.
Yeah, the dialogue is not supposed to be like traditional high schoolers. But I think that if you were to look at these characters and you were to like, say, fucking reskin them as a fucking LA Confidential cast, that dialogue would totally work. It'd be fucking great, but the fun of it comes from it being in high school.
Yeah, I don't know if I have fun. I don't know if I have fun with that idea. I mean, it is really just like one of those things where you're like, I get this and I do not like it.
Yeah, fair.
But I understand it fully. I get the appeal.
Fair.
And it just doesn't hit for me.
Man, I love Brick so much. Looper's
maybe I
up
need to give
too.
It a rewatch. Looper is good. It's hard to rewatch it and be like, wait a second, none of this makes any fucking sense.
Well, because time travel doesn't make any fucking sense, but he still has fun with the rules that he sets up.
Right, I don't know if there are rules.
There aren't. But that's the first, that's his first rule, is there are no rules.
Yeah. Second rule, here's a bunch of other rules.
Exactly. It's just like my purge.
More rules.
It's like my purge pitch.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think I know this is one of my favorite movie going experiences of the year. I saw it in a packed theater, and everybody was loving it. Everybody's really into it.
Yeah. This is just,
there were times when people were laughing so much I couldn't hear what the characters were saying.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't hear what the characters were saying because the theater I saw it at had a shit audio system. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Star Cinema Grill in Houston.
Star Cinema Grill?
Yeah. My family likes to go there because it's the closest theater to our house.
Nice. And they serve food there and everything?
Yeah, it's like a knockoff draft house.
Sounds like they suck, though.
Yeah, they're not great.
Yeah. All right, well, what are we going to see next week? Or what are we going to podcast about next week?
We have a lot of options, but we could also just start the Star Wars series. Unless you want to see Playmobil the movie.
No, I don't want to see that. We could also talk about The Irishman. You floated that.
We could do that. We could do a three and a half hour podcast episode.
We have a rule that our podcasts have to be some amount of the length of the movie.
Yeah.
But not all of it. Cannot be all of it.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. We like to be flexible here. I'm happy to talk about The Irishman. I'm sure that there's plenty of discussion we can have surrounding that. But there are also a lot of indie films that are just going to kind of be on a case-by-case basis because we don't know if they're all going to be playing by both of our hometowns.
Yeah, we have our work cut out for us, but I think we'll survive.
Yeah.
Well, overall, Knives Out, definite C for me in the theaters.
Yeah, I give you it as well. Five knives out of five.
Five knives out of knives.
Nine knives out of knives. Not out of knives.
I give it five Last Jedis after Last Jedis.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, until next week. Nuts.
Bye.
Bye.